Isak Cruz turned it down. Lomachenko turned it down,
too.
So so that's why I'm saying, like, all
what's
these guys turned
do?
It down.
Yeah, I mean, what is he supposed to do at that point, you know?
He's fighting Dos Santos, this Dominican guy who's ranked number six.
Yeah. They had to go all the way down. They had to go all the way down to number six to find that dude.
Yeah, crazy.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Said he's born ready.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lortat. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get started with it, man. Friday, ESPN, Luis Alberto Lopez versus Joette Gonzalez for the IBF featherweight title. Luis Alberto Lopez wins a unanimous decision over Joette Gonzalez by the scores of 118-110, 117-111, and 116-112. You know, this fight felt like a close fight kind of throughout it, man. I scored the fight 115-113 for Gonzalez. ESPN scored the same thing. I thought that Lopez was tiring, honestly, toward the end of the fight. I think the production went down in the later rounds, and Gonzalez just seemed to pick it up, man. Lopez, he's unorthodox, and I think that helped him early. But to me, I think he gave away a lot of those later rounds, and I think Gonzalez, to me, deserved that fight. You know, that being said, I don't know if I would call it a robbery. I think you can make the case that Lopez did win this fight. You know, it just depends on what you like. You know, it depends on what you're looking at, you know. I don't like rematches very often, and you guys know this, but I think Gonzalez should get another shot, but I'm not 100% sure that he will. Beeb, what were your thoughts? And when you watched this fight, were you surprised at the judges' scorecard? Forget about who wins, but the judges were way, like, lopsided on this one.
I scored this fight a draw, and it was a tale of two fights, just like you said. Six rounds, I think I got my scorecard open there. So the first six rounds, I scored it 5-1. The next six rounds, I also scored it 5-1. So I scored it 5-1 in the first six for Lopez. Second six, 5-1 for Gonzalez. But interesting thing here, I thought rounds one and rounds four were swing rounds, right?
Yeah.
Rounds one and four in the first half of the fight.
And I gave those both to Lopez, by the way.
So if I swing that fourth round to Gonzalez, then I have it 115-113 for Joette Gonzalez as well. And that's what you had it. You had it for Gonzalez. You thought Gonzalez pulled it out?
115, yeah. 115, 113 for Joy.
What rounds did you give him? Did you out of the first six?
First six. Let's see. I gave Gonzalez 2, 3, and that's it. Everything else went to Lopez. Okay. In the seventh, for 7 through 12, I gave Gonzalez the seventh round, and then 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clear that he won 7, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I thought he won 5 of the last 6. You thought he won 5 of the last 6.
Yeah.
So that's 5 rounds right there. All he has to do is win one more round or one more round for a draw and two rounds to get the win. So this was a razor close fight. I don't have a problem with Lopez getting the decision, right?
Yeah,
but what I do have a problem with is those scorecards to me just seem very very wide.
Well, and you know the ESPN guys, you could tell that Gonzalez seemed to me to be the house fighter. They were pulling for him. I think they were kind of pulling for him all night, you know, and saying this could be his last shot here. He's had three. Listen, man, he's good. Don't get me wrong. Both guys are really good. Are either guy an upper echelon? I don't know. But I think it would be fair to fight that fight over again. I really do.
You know what I think it was too, because Lopez is the counterpuncher, right? He was doing more moving than I've ever seen him do. You know, he's using his legs early. I thought Joette was coming forward, but Lopez was being the effective counterpuncher early on. He was landing some counter right hands, some sneaky uppercuts. You know, as Gonzalez would lean forward in, right? But I just thought, like, having to move so much and just to have to deal with that pressure early on, and basically had to fight Gonzalez off him, right? Because Gonzalez, nothing that Lopez hit him with could really stop Gonzalez from coming forward. And then I thought Gonzalez really started landing his right hand in the second half of the fight. He started getting his jab off. He started shooting shots from a distance, and he established his range. And then when he did get close, he would shoot some body shots in there. He'd get his own uppercuts in there. And I just think that because Lopez had to move more than he normally does early in the fight, and because he had to deal with that constant pressure, because nothing that he threw would stop Gonzalez from applying that pressure, I do think he faded. And credit to Gonzalez, because this guy's got a gas tank from hell. Like he doesn't have any quit in him at all. Like he can switch from first to second gear, and there's no looking back after that. Like, this guy has a gas tank for days. So we got to give him credit for his conditioning and his overall determination in there, because this guy really brought it.
You know, you think about it, like, you know, conditioning is really the only thing you can really control at the end of the day, you know, because you guys, you're both fighting at a high level. You both have the same type of skill sets.
Sure.
Everybody knows how to throw a punch. Everybody punches hard at this level, you know. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I thought he gassed out toward the end of the fight, and I thought that Gonzalez picked up a lot of those rounds. Let me get those scores again. 118, 110, 117, 111, and 116, 112.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can make an argument for the 116, 112, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
You can make an argument, I'm sure, but 117, 118,
I don't know, man. Okay, say I swing round one to Lopez. I don't know. Could round nine have gone to him? I don't know. I think there was. I'm trying to think. The two of the judges, I think, gave Lopez the 12th. Like, if I'm not mistaken, one or two of the judges gave him the 12th. I thought the 12th was a clear Gonzalez round. I thought he was carrying and dictating the pace of that round for at least the first two minutes. Here's the thing, man. I think a lot of people and judges, I think, will see a guy rally in the last 30 seconds, 45 seconds of a round. And because he does that, people, judges and fans alike, I believe, tend to remember what they last saw in the round. And they just disregard what happened on the first 2 minutes or first minute and a half or first minute, 45 seconds, whatever, right? If you put enough time early on in the round when you're controlling it, and just because a guy rallies at the end, automatically does he get that round? I mean, that's the thing. Like, because I thought Lopez was rallying at the end of some of these rounds, but was it enough to put those rounds in the bank for him? I don't think so. Like, in the 12th, he made a little rally, but he already lost like the first two minutes and 10 seconds of the round. And then because he has a little rally at the end of it, you're going to give it to him? To each his own, I guess. Like I said, I don't scorecard shame, but I just do think that people and judges sometimes overvalue that little rally at the end of a round, which I don't think is fair, my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, you think about the Sugar Ray Hagler fight, and you yourself said that Hagler won. You thought that Ray Leonard was doing just...
Fighting ten seconds of every round,
and I agree with you.
Don't do that to the best fighter of all time. Come on. This is what I will say. People talk about that rally at the end, but you know what was happening? Ray Leonard got off to a good start in the round.
Yeah.
And he started the round strong, and he finished the round strong. And you could argue Hagler may have won, like, portions of the middle of the round. Everyone thinks that, oh, he just rallied at the end to steal those rounds. but they forget that he also started the rounds off. He would take his little break in that second minute. You know what I'm saying? So I think people don't give Ray Leonard enough credit in that fight. That was a close fight. Ray Leonard himself said that fight could have gone either way. I had it 115 and 113 for Ray.
And he's from Mass. Hagler is from your hometown.
Oh, he was born in New Jersey. He did live most
Brockton,
of his life.
Mass, son.
He did live most of his life in Brockton, Mass. Yes,
yeah, you cold-blooded, man. You just turned on a hometown guy.
Oh, people get mad. Every time I say Sugar Ray Leonard won that fight, people, oh, my God, they call me Benedict Arnold. They cuss me out. Well, how can you go against Marvin Hagler? You know, and I'll be honest, as much as I love, this is what I said before the fight. I love, because Ray Leonard's always been my favorite fighter. Ever since I can remember, I always loved the guy, right? I just like the way he carried himself. Like,
yeah, he was always
fighting,
man.
He's just always been my favorite fighter. This is what I said before the fight. I love Ray Leonard. I want him to win, but I don't think he's going to win. I didn't think he was going to win that fight. I just, the 3 years off, moving up to fight, Hagler was the man at that time. He was the best fighter in the world at that time. I didn't think Ray was going to pull it off. God damn it, he pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm not sure he did. Hagler never fought again. Hagler never fought again after that, by the way.
Did you have Hagler winning that fight?
Yeah, everybody had Hagler winning that fight.
Come on. No, they didn't. It was
everybody had Hagler winning that fight, son.
It was down the middle.
It was not down the middle. Everybody had Hagler winning that fight, son. Just like Sugar Ray tied that second Hearns fight, too. Yeah. All right, man.
No, I thought he lost.
He clearly lost the second fight.
He even admitted himself he lost that fight.
Did you see those two? They were on Mike Tyson's podcast. I think it was a few months ago. And Mike was in there with Sugar Ray and Tommy Hearns. And Hearns said something like, do you think you beat me? He said, Tommy, I could beat you right now. And then they both stood up. Mike Tyson goes nuts. He's like, no.
Yeah.
I got a feeling, man, those two would have thrown. I don't think those two don't like each other, man. I don't know what it is.
Oh, they just kid around. I think they do.
Nah, I don't think they like each other. I think there's that.
Really?
I think there's that undertone, like I always want to punch you in the face,
you know,
kind of thing.
Is,
you know.
I think Tommy feels that he was always in Ray's shadow when he never got credit, and then when he finally beats him in the second fight, they take it away from him.
He was winning that first fight. He was winning.
Yeah,
he just had the style of Pete Leonard, and that's it.
Imagine if that first fight was 12 rounds, like they
all did. Yeah,
he would have won.
He would have won, absolutely.
He would have won. He would have won by decision.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know.
It's funny how just circumstances just happen like the way they do, right? Because that would have been a 12-round decision for Hearns if that was a 12-round fight. Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely, man. And what did he get knocked out in the 14th, wasn't it?
14th round.
Yeah, 14th round. And Hearns was dominating that fight. Just dominating.
Yeah, he was up. There's no question.
What was it? The two rounds, those two rounds, I think you could have gave Leonard, I think, seventh and six and seven maybe. Or
yeah, maybe three
rounds.
It was
there where he hurt Tommy. He hurt him bad.
Yeah, yeah. Probably three rounds maybe he could have given him.
Yeah. But, man, Tommy Hearns was a handful for anybody, though.
Yes, he was.
I mean, you know, nobody had an easy fight with that dude, man.
He really knew how to use his height and reach very well. He was a master at gauging distance.
Yeah.
And timing, too. Yeah, he was great with timing.
His timing. Well, look what he did with Roberto Duran.
I mean,
he put him out cold.
And here's the thing.
I mean,
Roberto Duran gave Hagler probably his toughest fight in his career.
I think you could argue that fight. I think you can actually make an argument.
It was a split decision victory for Hagler. So one judge did have it for Duran.
And
Ray's just a close fight.
And that just shows you know, combat math never works. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work. You know? So,
not in that case.
No, absolutely not, man. So do you think there should be a rematch with Gonzalez, with Joey Gonzalez?
Oh, I'd love for there to be a rematch.
Do you think there will be?
No.
Where do you think that he goes from here? Not Gonzalez, but Lopez.
It's 126. No, he could probably get a unification fight, right? You see him getting unification.
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah, I would like to see, you know, and if not, I would like to see Joey Gonzalez. He can get another shot. But it might be it for him, though. You know, that's the other thing, too, because they were saying, you know, you heard a lot of, he was like, you know, he said it's do or die for me tonight, you know, and they kept saying that do or die, which means, you know, look, I mean, are you going to hang this up now or what? Because I thought he looked good. I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he was slow, and I think he can make some adjustments and come back a lot better. But I don't know, man. It just depends on where his head's at, you know. That's a big one, man. That's a huge.
Yeah, I mean.
Because clearly he's already, it sounds like he's one foot out. But, you know, because he's already talking about, well, this might be my last, you know, last title fight. That means that's it, right?
Yeah, I mean, he beat Josh Warrington, right?
Yeah.
And then Lee Woods fighting Josh Warrington next. So it'd be nice to see maybe Lopez get the winner of the Lee Wood Warrington fight.
I don't think he beats either one. I don't think he beats Lee Wood.
You don't think he beats Lee Wood?
No.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
I think it's a good fight, though. I think it's a good fight because, you know, that's going to take place across the pond because that's where the money is right now, especially with Lee Wood. It'll take place right in his hometown, and that's an uphill climb for Joette. That's an uphill climb.
Not Joette. I'm talking about Lopez.
Oh, for Lopez?
Yeah. Did you ask me where does Joette go from here?
I think I asked you both, actually. But, you know, Lopez okay. Lopez is a – yeah, I don't think Lopez beats
Lee Wood? You don't think Lopez beats Lee Wood?
No. Yeah, that's I don't think either guy beats Lee Wood, to be honest with you.
I think Lee Wood's going to beat Warrington pretty convincingly. I think they're fighting soon. They're fighting October 7th. So I like Lee Wood, man. I think Lee Wood's a solid. I think he's
love
one of the
Lee
best
Wood.
In the division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Wood's one of my favorites, man. Tony Ayo says, UFC somehow state claimed the Mexican Independence Day. Canelo should have fought yesterday. And then Notorious says maybe they had the T-Mobile booked. Listen, I don't understand that either. I don't really get that either. But listen, the UFC is going to sell out. They're going to sell a lot of tickets and everything. I get that. But when was the last time we didn't have a September fight, a September Independence Day fight? It's been a while now, right? I mean, typically, like I said, Mayweather had it drawn up, then Canelo had it locked up, and then...
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Joette Gonzalez have a rematch with Isaac Dogbay because... That was the split decision loss there. That was a close fight that could have gone either way. So maybe a rematch with Dogbay, that wouldn't be bad. You know, maybe a fight with Ray Vargas.
Well,
that wouldn't be bad.
I'll tell you what I say. I think that for Joette Gonzalez, if he wants to continue and he tries to get a title fight, I think I would try to get a title fight or a rematch. If none of those are available, then I think you got to put him in with a top five guy.
Yeah.
Because he's got to get back, you know. Because he's already
maybe a Mauricio. Mauricio Lara.
Yeah, that's a good fight.
That's an exciting fight. That Mauricio Lara is just coming off that one-sided. I think he got stopped by Lee Wood.
Yeah.
Lee Wood beat him by stoppage. So, no, I'm sorry. That was a decision. He beat Mauricio Lara by decision. So, yeah, I think a fight with Mauricio Lara, Mauricio Lara is coming off that one-sided loss to Lee Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mauricio Lara had that big knockout over Lee Wood prior. And then, you know, but who knows if Mauricio Lara can even make 126 again because he had a hard time making 126.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Tony Yeo says that Shakur smashed Joette's sister. How dare you? Family show.
I mean,
he did. I mean, I guess I'm assuming he did. I mean, they dated for quite a while, so
yeah.
That's why that fight was that was a real like intense fight with him and Shakur.
Yeah, that was a kind of like a grudge match type thing. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter. Shakur's Shakur, you know,
Shakur, man.
You ain't beating
did
that
we
guy.
Did we get it? I do, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about the undercard here on this ESPN card. Xander Zayas. Versus Roberto Valenzuela at 154 pounds. Valenzuela was like 20-5, I think, 21-5 maybe coming in. So he had a good resume. They touted his power a lot. They touted his power a lot, man, but he got overwhelmed in this fight, man.
Yeah.
Xander looked really good in this one. He busted him up. He hurt him multiple times in the fight, knocked him down a couple of times. I mean, it was just all Xander. I mean, he just busted that guy up. It was surprising they wanted to stop that because of the nose. Like, he had a cut on the bridge of his nose.
That looked horrible, that cut.
It was deep, but, you know, I think you've got to give the corner a chance to stop it, which they did. But, it's not in a bad place. You know, it really wasn't in a bad place. I don't think it was affecting his vision too much. But it looked horrible. It did look horrible.
It looked like his face was falling apart, man.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, he had blood all over. It looked like a crime scene, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Did not look good.
Xander, he's talking about title fights and everything like that. I'd like to see him get a few more before he goes after. I mean, he's in 154 pounds.
Yeah, it's a tough division.
That's a tough division, man. I'd like to see him get a couple more, but that guy, I mean, baby, he's looking like the cream of the crop right now, right?
Yeah, he's progressing very well. Progressing very well. He seems to be improving, seems to be more confident, seems to be putting his shots together a lot better, setting them up better, placing them perfectly. He's starting to come into his own. You can tell he's working on his craft. You can tell he's been really training hard, great shape. So, yeah.
Yeah,
he's saying nothing but good things about him.
Yeah, he's good, man. They signed him when he was, 15 or not 15, 17 or something like that?
He was a young
And they've been keeping him busy, and they said when they signed him, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
So they spotted him, man. Emiliano Vargas versus Alejandro Guardado. Vargas wins by TKO in the third round. I think this is his fifth fight, maybe, and Emiliano Vargas, of course, Fernando Vargas' son. He looks like a really promising prospect, man. He looks really good. He looks he looked good. He set up things good. I mean, again, he's learning. You know, he's still got a ways to go. You know, but I tell you right, he's going to be a handful, man.
He's like his dad. Like they can punch, man. They can punch. They got some pop.
Bang Mateo with the Caddyshack here. The world needs ditch diggers too. Joanna's no champ. Wow. That's rough,
I mean,
man. That's hard.
He put on a great performance, man.
He's got a family, man. What's wrong with you, Bang?
You can make an argument he won that fight.
Hey, listen, man. Bang contributed. He can say whatever he wants. And you know what? I agree with him. All right? There you go. There it is. Tony Ayo says Emiliano is only 18 or 19. That's Vargas' son.
He's young.
And Bang Mateo says Zach Wilson is the worst. Listen, they're playing the Cowboys, my friend. What do you want? The Cowboys look good this year. 40-0 last week. They got the best defense in the NFL right now. Yeah, that's a tough road, man.
Show some respect, will you, please?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Stop coming in here being disrespectful to everyone.
Joette Gonzalez, Zach Wilson. Come on, Bang. Is there anybody you do like? How about those Bengals? They're 0-2 now. Yeah.
He's pissed in your cornflakes this morning.
All right, let's talk about the zone here. That wonderful card they had yesterday. William Zepeda versus Mercito Gesta. William Zepeda wins via sixth-round TKO over Mercito Gesta. Beeb, tell us about the $25 that you spent on this fight.
You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but this was, I mean, these Golden Boy cards, they suck. They're just showcase fights, right? They leave nothing to the imagination. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Williams.
You knew who the main event was going to. You knew who was going to win the main event.
Yeah, I mean.
And you could have picked every one of the undercards, too.
Correct. I'm not trying to disrespect Zepeda. I'm not trying to disrespect Gesta. I respect everyone that gets in that ring. But this was a foregone conclusion. You know, everyone's talking about the amount of punches that Zepeda throws. Now people are saying he's the second best lightweight in the world behind Shakur. That's fine. Everyone has a right to their own opinion. But I remember having this conversation way back when I was on Roper Dope Radio, and we had Al Bernstein on. He was talking about, I like Pacquiao over Mayweather because of the amount of punches he throws. And I said, well, Al, do you think he's going to throw the same punches against Mayweather than he throws against everyone else. I mean, just look at his fights with Marquez when he's in there with a guy that's a great counterpuncher, right? So, Zepeda does have a high work rate, and he's in phenomenal shape. He's got a great engine to him. He doesn't get tired. That stuff is impressive. But you're in there with a guy like Mosita Gesta, who most people said you were gonna beat by knockout anyways. And if the only other name on your resume is Jojo Diaz coming off a loss to Devin Haney, right? I don't know, man. Like these Golden Boy guys, they the only one that really they moved pretty well was Virgil Ortiz, right? Because he's beat some good guys. He beat some decent guys, right?
Isn't he injured or something like that? Is he injured?
He's got rhabdomyolysis.
Yeah.
That kidney condition there. Where
is he going to be able to fight again? I mean,
they're saying they're bringing him back maybe at 154, 160. I don't know if the damage caused by the rhabdomyolysis is permanent, did permanent damage to the kidneys, but I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, they're moving this guy Zepeda. Zepeda was another guy that turned down a fight with Shakur Stevenson. So I don't want to get too excited about this guy. I mean, he's got a great style. He's got 25 knockouts in 29 fights. But I'm just curious to see why they're not moving him up. Why isn't he fighting someone like an Isak Cruz? Why isn't he fighting someone like a Shakur Stevenson? Why is he turning down fights with Shakur Stevenson? You know, what's the plan? Like, why not even fight like at least a George Kamposis or somebody, right? Or Maxie Hughes? You know, I'm just like why are you fighting guys with all due respect like Mosita Gesta, man? I mean, I don't know.
Look, I mean, Virgil Ortiz is now injured. You know, we don't know if he can come back, what it's going to be like when he comes back.
Yeah, we don't know when he's coming back.
His health is going to be in danger when he comes back.
Yeah,
so
we don't even know it's going to come back.
So you got, like, say, Zepeda, and then you got Jaime Munguia, who, again, doesn't fight a soul.
Yeah.
We fought anybody. Like, come
it's
on.
Funny, because De La Hoya, I became a promoter because I wanted to see the best fight the best. But he's done the exact opposite of what he said he was going to do. And he's sitting there criticizing all the PBC fighters for not fighting fighters. Well, what are you doing with your guy?
He takes a dump on Canelo every chance he gets.
Yeah.
I mean, every chance he gets, he's always dumping on Canelo. You're the one that caused that. Like, you're the one that needs to mend that relationship, not the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that lied, nobody else, you know. And you can't say you didn't lie, because we saw your documentary, you're a known liar, you know.
It's funny because everyone that watched that, they said to themselves, I don't know whether I can believe this guy. Like half the things he says, you can't believe it. He was on The Breakfast Club,
mm-hmm.
or Charlamagne Tha God. It's a very popular radio show.
Yeah.
And Charlamagne Tha God said afterwards, he said to his face, I don't know if I believe you, Oscar. I don't know. Like half the things you say, I don't even know if I believe you.
Yeah.
Right. Like people just don't trust the guy. He's a very dishonest person.
He is.
Very fake, dishonest person. He's a great fighter. Don't get me wrong. I've never disrespect him as a fighter.
Yeah, he was pretty
good.
But
he's just a very disingenuous person, bro. Like you can't believe the guy. Can't believe the guy.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know what the plan is with William Zepeda. I mean, he's ranked up there. You know, I don't know. Do you throw him in there with a Jermaine Ortiz? You throw him in there with a Frank Martin? What do you do with this
guy? Is he going to fight those guys? He didn't. I mean, Shakur just came knocking. He didn't want to fight him.
You want to fight Shakur? So I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
man.
Look, man. What do you guys? You know, you just want to give him title defenses? Just keep beating him. You know, 6-7 rank. You know, contenders. I mean,
so
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do, man. I don't know what they're gonna do, but.
For us, instead of Oscar, his real name, we can't believe him. You're right. You're 100% right. Tony,
I don't know if I'm ready.
Go ahead.
I'm saying I don't know if I'm ready to jump on the Williams to pay the bandwagon right now.
I think he doesn't develop his guys very good at all. I really believe that he doesn't develop those guys at all. And then, you know, and all their matchmakers over there, and those Golden Boy cards are terrible. They've always been bad. always.
And Roberto Diaz used to be the matchmaker over there, but he left, and he was a great matchmaker. He left, and I guess he's, like, managing fighters and stuff now. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall, like, you know, I can't work with this guy because maybe, you know, he's slow-rolling all these guys. You know, so maybe he found it hard being a matchmaker over there because of Oscar.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Tony Ayo says he still has to watch that documentary. Get on it, man. Come on. Go watch it. Yeah, What are you waiting for?
Have you watched At Home with the Furies yet?
Me? No, I have not watched that.
Oh, you're not anyone that hasn't watched that documentary, I don't consider them a real boxing fan. That's the best.
I don't consider them a real boxing fan if they have not watched At Home with the Furies.
That's one of the best boxing reality documentary shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, real awesome. Real heavy-hitting documentary there, huh?
Oh, please.
Just saying.
Netflix is renewing the season. I'm going to go down at Home with the Fury season 2, man.
Stop it.
Most watched series in the UK, man, on Netflix, number one.
You know, in fairness, I mean, there's really not much going on over the UK, right?
It was number one for 4 weeks, man.
What is it going up against over there in the UK?
No, but overall it was number one.
Right, but overall, what's it going up against in the UK? What kind of shows over there are real popular?
Well, I'm saying...
Do they got Temptation Island over there? No.
I'm including United States. Like, for the first 4 weeks when it came out, it was number one overall. Now it's like number one in the UK.
Just stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
Why are you disrespecting the island? Why are you disrespecting the island, man?
Island?
Great Britain, man.
I forgot you're England's adopted son.
Come on, man. Don't be xenophobic.
That's right. All right, listen, if you guys like what we're doing, man, come on, give us a thumbs up, man. We don't ask you for much here. We don't ask you for money. We don't ask you for fame. We just ask you to click on the thumbs up button. That's all I want. Just click it. I mean, come on.
It's a very remedial skill, just hitting a button.
You know, just
click. It takes little effort.
Click. That's all it is. Just click the thumbs up. That's all you need to do.
Very little effort.
I know. We got a bunch of people in here watching, and nobody's clicking the button. Come on, just click it. All right?
Please.
Come on. My own. All right. Let's see here. September 18th on ESPN, 5 a.m. This is Japan. Tokyo, Japan, to be exact. Kenshiro Taraji versus Heikki Butler for 12 rounds for Taraji's WBC and WBA junior flyweight titles. And that'll be at 5 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. So if you guys want to watch that one, you can definitely watch that one. London, ESPN Plus, September 23rd. I believe that's Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Xylee Zhang versus Joe Joyce in a rematch for Zhang's WBO heavyweight interim title. Anthony Yard versus Ricky Summers, 10 rounds, light heavyweights. And that's about it. I mean, that's about as much as I'm really recognizing here.
But Canelo the week after.
Yeah, September 23rd from Orlando, Florida on DAZN. Jose Zepeda versus Richardson Hitchens. Is that the guy that fought Bronner? Hitchens? Lawyer?
I think he was supposed
Anybody
to
know?
I can't remember who Bronner fought last. I know that was one.
The guy was a lawyer, like some white dude, some lawyer.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think that was Bronner's last fight.
Yeah.
And I know a couple people pulled out, so I'm just trying to remember.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to fight anybody from Cincinnati, you know. Jessica McCaskill versus Sandy Ryan for McCaskill's title. And again, she'll fight for 20 minutes and call herself a champion. Austin Williams versus Steve Rolls. Yeah, this is another DAZN special right here. That's what you're paying $25 for, guys, right there. Tony Ayo says Hitchens is black, so apparently we have the wrong guy. Maybe it's Hutchins I was thinking about.
Bill Hutchinson was the guy that...
Bill Hutchinson, yes, Bill Hutchinson.
I think it's a different guy. Bill Hutchinson was a different guy, yeah, so it's not Hitchens.
Well, this is why I have Tony Ayo
in chat. Sorry about that, guys.
This is why we have him in the chat, son. This is why we got you guys here.
Hutchinson, Hitchinson, we were kind of close. Or
Hitchens and Hutchins.
Yeah. So we got a great chat, man, that fact checks us, man.
Now, Nacho says that he likes a Zepeda versus Hitchens fight. Would you, let me ask you a question, Nacho. Do you like it enough to pay $25 for it?
Yeah.
Hitchens is that dude in PBC, and Mayweather said he was a really good prospect, and he's been whatever.
All right.
There you go. There you go.
We'll take your word for it, Notch.
I'll take your word for it.
Anticipated. Always an exciting fighter, but we'll see.
And the week after September 30th, of course, the big one on Showtime pay-per-view, Canelo Alvarez versus Jermell Charlo. And then we'll go over that card next weekend and give our predictions. Mike Montero is hopefully going to be with us next weekend. He'll discuss his fight that he had recently, and he'll talk about the Canelo Alvarez Jermell Charlo fight too. He'll break it down with us. Is that okay, Beeb? I mean, I didn't want to, because I know how you feel about him and everything like that. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, like to bring him in and everything. I know like stuff you said. And I just want you guys can squash that.
When have you ever heard me ever complain during a production meeting for the shows?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, the guy he fought.
I mean, sit there. I don't say a word. I just take in what the producers put on the table for us.
Well, you and I saw his last fight. You and I saw his last fight.
You're the one that's always yapping at the production meeting. Not me.
Well, sure. I gotta make sure things are right. You know, I'm paying attention to business at the production meetings. I don't know what you're doing. And you're right. I don't hear you talk very much during these production meetings. But what I do notice is you like staring out into the sky. And
I'm just very agreeable. I'm an agreeable person. I don't like to rock the boat.
I don't want to put your business out on the street. But I'm just saying, like, when we were in these production meetings, it's not uncommon for us to have to like reel you back in like a fish because you're out on left field over here picking daisies. I don't know what you're doing in left field. So we got to bring you back to the table, bring you back to earth, and then we got to like, you know, spoon feed you the rest of it. So yes, I'm a little concerned. Yes.
I don't know what to say. I don't have a comeback.
Well, let's see if Robert can get a comeback for you. All right, here, Robert, 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah. I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Interesting fights this weekend. Lee Wood, Joe has already talked about when he beats Warrington, he would like to fight Lopez. So I think that will happen next.
Why? Because you said it's going to happen next. Is that why it's going to happen next?
I agree with you, Joe.
You have a Gazelle membership. All of a sudden, you're a promoter. You're a manager.
No, I'm saying I agree with you. I think that will happen next. Okay.
I'm just giving an opinion. You're stating it like it's fact. Are you in the room negotiating these contracts? I mean, who are you?
I'm not stating it as fact. I was just agreeing with your opinion.
You said it so definitively, like you actually got the stroke in this situation here.
Give me a break.
You said it so definitively.
Give me a break. Jesus Christ. You're going to break down every single word I say now? Anyway.
So who are you? Joe Shit the Rag? I mean, who are you?
Okay. Enough about that. And I agree with you guys on William Cepeda. I know he overwhelms guys with punches, but I don't know if he actually hurts people. I don't know if he's actually got power in those punches, because I think if he would have had power in those in the punches that he threw, that fight would have been over well before the sixth round. And I think that fight should have been stopped a lot earlier.
Knocked him out in six rounds. That's not the hit. I mean, he knocked him out in six rounds, Robbie. Five rounds, I believe.
Five rounds. The other one went 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Knocked him out in 6 rounds, Robbie. I mean, that's you know, he stopped him in relatively good fashion in 6 rounds. I mean, what do you expect, the first round? I mean, the guy's not Mike Tyson. I understand that.
What do you think, man? Joe, I honestly think Jack Reese could have stopped that a couple rounds earlier.
Why are you blaming Jack Reese now? Why is he getting thrown under the bus in this situation? Are you happy with anybody?
Give me a break here. I'm just going by what I saw, Joe.
You're gonna criticize the guy that was fucking selling the hot dogs and popcorn in the concession stand? What else? Who else are you gonna criticize? What's wrong with you?
Good God. Sometimes I wonder why I even call. Sometimes.
don't lay that guilt trip on me now.
Give me a break. Don't try to make me feel bad.
I tell you what.
Trying to make me feel bad now.
Babe, giving you the business today, Robert.
I already went to confession on Saturday. Don't try to make me feel bad.
And look, Eric, I did watch that De La Hoya documentary, and he's a disgusting piece of individual.
Oh wow, that's kind of gone pretty far.
All we said was he lies a little, but you're saying calling him human sewage. He's not human sewage. He's a human being.
He's got kids.
He's a disgusting piece of individual, and
he doesn't see
honestly,
him, but he got him. You know.
and after watching that documentary, I don't know why any fighter would sign with his company. I really don't. While Eric Gomez should be running that company, De La Hoya should be disappearing because I think Oscar is the reason why his fighters. I think Oscar is the reason why his fighters are not successful.
Like you're running a Fortune 500 company or something. You're giving people business advice. Who are you, kid?
Oh my
Who are
God.
You?
Wow, Beeb, coming with
anyway,
the pressure,
my
man.
God.
Wow.
Are you buying the Fury and Ganu fight?
Yeah, what about that, Robert?
No,
you
I'm
buy
not.
That fight?
No, that's my birthday.
Fucking
and I'm not
liar.
Waste,
Come on.
I'm not wasting
it.
My money.
Mrs. Eric
that.
Already told me you were hitting her up for money for that fight.
What are you
already told me?
That's my birthday, and I'm not wasting my money on that fight. No.
When is that fight? October what?
October 28th. That's my 28th. Birthday. I'm not.
All right. Well, happy
birthday, Robert.
Happy birthday,
Sam. That's a terrible birthday present for me. I'm not happy. I want to see Tyson Fury unify the title. This is a waste of time. I understand why he's doing it, but I don't like it.
I think he tried. They never got a formal offer. Nobody ever gave him a formal offer. Usyk never gave him an offer.
I know. Eric, to be honest with you, I'm disappointed with the entire heavyweight division. Nobody's fighting anybody, really. I mean,
no, you're right. And we should. We should have guys fighting each other, you know.
You know. Deontay Wilder hasn't even signed a fight. He's been out of the ring almost a year. And yet they're trying to set him up with Joshua, and I don't think that fight's going to come off either. If I'm a boxing fan, which I am, I'm totally disappointed with how the entire heavyweight division is being conducted at this time. I'm glad Joyce is fighting this weekend. I think he will win the rematch. I think he was going to win the first fight had the eye not gotten as bad as it was. So I expect him to win this weekend. But overall, I'm very disappointed with the way the heavyweight division is being conducted. People need to start fighting one another. I mean, no wonder why people are paying attention to other things nowadays. You know, the heavyweight champion used to be the entire king of boxing, and now...
Hold up for a second.
Okay.
You're saying people are paying attention to other things.
Yeah,
what
they
are. What
are
you implying? What are these other things like? What are you implying?
Well, for example,
like,
Joe...
What do you mean other things? Explain that.
For example, Joe... A lot more people are paying attention to the UFC. I mean,
about your OnlyFans.
No. Oh, for
heaven's sake. I thought you were talking about your OnlyFans membership.
I don't have.
When you said other things, I thought you were talking about your OnlyFans membership and your X-Videos premium membership.
I don't have either one of those. But no, people are paying attention to other combat sports. They're not really paying attention to boxing because other than Canelo, who is the major star these days that people are going to buy pay-per-views for? I mean, we're boxing nuts. We're going to buy...
Tyson Fury.
Well, yeah. And Tyson Fury, whether we like it or not, is going to get even more popular because he's going to be exposed to the UFC crowd with this fight. That's why this pay-per-view is going to be this pay-per-view is going to be a success, because the UFC crowd is going to buy this fight.
Right, but why is that bad, though? Because it brings more eyes to the sport, it makes Fury more popular, and it makes, you know, the fact that he's going to fight somebody pretty good in the next fight, a unified champion, maybe.
But, Eric, after this fight, are you going to be able to get the UFC people to buy the UFC pay-per-views to buy another Tyson-Fury fight if it's a regular boxing fight?
We don't know. We don't know, and that's what makes it good. I mean, just like the Jake Paul fight when he first fought the guy KSI or whatever, he had we had a billion eyes on it, right? We had a billion eyes on it.
Right.
But, you know, not all those eyes come over, but some of them come over. And some of them may appreciate the sport. Some of them may just follow Jake Paul or Logan Paul or whoever. And the same thing here, you know, they're going to follow Fury. You're going to see, because he's an entertaining guy.
Yeah.
I want to see what this guy does, you know. I mean, how many people became UFC fans because of, like, Conor McGregor or somebody like that?
Yeah,
a guy
that's
true. That just was charismatic, you know what I mean? And people were like, I got to check this guy out, man. I hear him talking. I see him everywhere. Let me check him out.
But
and that's what happens. But this is how the sport gets popular.
After Conor McGregor, for example, fought Floyd Mayweather, we didn't see an increase in pay-per-view buys, in boxing pay-per-views.
We didn't see an increase because look what the fights they were putting on. I mean, really, like you know, that was the first of its kind. I don't ever remember something like that. I guess you can go back to Ali and who's the who was the guy he fought? The
Inoki.
Inoki.
Yeah,
we got it. Yeah, so you know, we could kind of go back to that, but short of that, nobody's ever seen anything. This was like an event. The Conor Floyd fight, we all kind of knew what was going to happen, but it was an event, you know, and the build-up was great, you know.
Right.
Go ahead, B.
Let me tell you this. So Turki Alashik, who's in charge of this event, he's in charge of the entertainment for Saudi Arabia, and he's been putting out a lot of Twitter posts for this event. And some of these things he's tweeting out in regards to this event, they're getting like 50 million views. The press conference was put on Twitter, and I think live at like 5 million views. And Frank Warren talked about the social media attention that this event is getting. And as much as I'm not crazy about this fight, and I'm probably not going to buy it myself,
you're totally buying that fight, son.
This is getting.
Who are you kidding? Because I'm buying it, son.
This is getting a lot of global attention, man. It really is. So. We'll see what happens here.
I don't know. I've just always been a boxing traditionalist, and I don't. These kind of events don't interest me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you have to look outside the box too.
Yeah.
I think in order to grow a sport and be successful, you kind of have to sometimes look outside the box. And just because it's always the way it was, doesn't mean it's changing with the times correctly. You know what I mean?
I get you,
I think
you
can do a lot more things to bring eyes to the sport.
I get you.
Yeah.
You know, but
so,
Robbie?
What?
I think you're going to break down and buy this. I know you talk a good game.
No.
But the closer this event
that's
gets,
that's my birthday, and
you
I'm not
will
spending,
be buying it.
That's my birthday, and I'm not spending my birthday
Harris
watching
says, what if Mrs. Herrick says, happy birthday, Robbie, I bought you this pay-per-view. What are you going to do? Tell her I don't want to watch it after she spent her hard-earned money on it? That wouldn't be a nice thing to do, would it, Robbie?
No, and she knows I don't like that kind of stuff, so she wouldn't buy it anyway.
Well, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Now I'm going to be
Mrs.
buying
Mrs. Herrick and
next,
myself, we're going to surprise you. We were going to pitch in and buy this for you.
Now I'm going to be
that
buying.
That was our plan.
I'm going to be buying next week's because I'm looking forward to that.
You're talking about the week
Canelo.
After?
Canelo.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely buying that one, too. Yeah, for sure. That one's going to get bought.
I actually did pay for Tyson Roy Jones.
I paid for it, too.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
Steve is buying this fight. Yeah, for sure he's buying this fight. Let's see here. Notorious. Yeah, we know Ngannou's not with the UFC anymore.
But he's known for the UFC.
Known for the UFC, right?
That's why we're saying it, because he's known for it.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't even fought in the PFL yet. So
no.
I mean, is he even really? I know he signed a contract with the PFL, but he hasn't even had an official fight with him yet.
No, he has not. one more thing before I get out of here, Eric. You mentioned that the women are on the card next week for DAZN, that they're going to fight for 20 mm-hmm. minutes. What about, have you heard what Amanda Serrano is doing in her next fight?
Could care less what Amanda Serrano is doing. Amanda Serrano's had so many chances.
So many chances
to make it big.
But did you hear that her next fight is going to be...
Here's the problem. What did she say? Hang on. I didn't hear what she said. So what is she going to do?
Her next fight is going to be 12 three-minute rounds.
Well, let's see it then. Talk's cheap. Who's she going 12 three-minute rounds against?
Who's she fighting, Robbie?
I don't know who the girl is she's fighting, but...
How convenient you do it against someone that no one really cares about. So this is basically, like we said on Thursday, this is a publicity stunt to try to hype up a fight that really isn't that big.
Now she wants to fight 3-minute rounds, right? She had Katie Taylor. She could have done it then. She could have done it in Heather Hardy. She could have done it then.
I agree with you, Eric. I'm not arguing that point.
How many fights does Amanda Serrano have? How many professional fights does Amanda Serrano have?
She's close to 45 or 50, Joe. She's had a lot.
Got like 46, 47 professional fights. Now all of a sudden she wants to do 12 three-minute rounds. And she's probably going to knock this girl out in about 3 or 4 rounds anyway. So what difference does it really make?
I'm just bringing it up for say that look, we've been arguing this point for years. I'm glad somebody's finally doing it. I don't know how successful it's going to be, but I'm glad.
It's already been done before.
It's
done twice in 2007. Layla McCarter did it twice in 2007. So this isn't even the first time it's been done.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know anything about that.
And then she's tweeting out to Katie Taylor, why couldn't we do this? Well, when you sign the contract,
ask for it afterwards. You can't do that.
These are all Jake Paul initiated publicity stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's true because she's being promoted by him.
She's being disingenuous here, man.
Let me ask you a question. How could they? Yeah, she is being disingenuous.
Yeah, she is.
Let me ask you a question. How could she box 3 minutes now? As far as like with the WBC or the W with the
WBC
sanctioning body,
they won't sanction it.
Yeah, so they have to change their rules. This is like a publicity thing.
The other three sanctioning bodies are going to allow it. The WBC is not sanctioning it.
There you go.
Well, that,
all right, Robert, we're going to get rolling here.
All right. See you later.
All right, man.
Now give him the hook, will you?
All right. Now, our next one is 210. This is from San Antonio, I believe. San Antonio, not the panhandle. So, Beeb, we should be safe here. Texas, you know how it goes.
Hey,
210, you're live.
Hey,
Anthony from
it's
Texas.
Anthony.
There we go. All right.
It was kind of a... Kind of a low key weekend for the Mexican holiday, right? Like I said, we used to have the big ones.
It
was kind of odd.
That's horrible, man.
But I did make my way down to Corpus for the Top Rank card, though, and that was a pretty good little, it was an inexpensive little card.
It was a really good card.
That was a good card.
A sleepy little town, you know, on the coast. You know, it's a cool place to just go. They have a real cool venue too. Their venue is perfect for boxing. It's pretty modern and it's perfect. It's not too big, but we haven't had Top Rank here in a long time. Top Rank used to come here a lot. I grew up on Top Rank, and I know everybody likes to toe the line with the promoters because fans have gotten kind of crazy, especially with the PBC versus blah blah blah. You know how that goes. But I grew up in Top Rank, and I just like the feel of their events, man. I like their setup. They always have solid prospects, talent, matchups. You know, they know how to develop their guys. So I really just went there for the Vargas. You know, it was good to see the Vargas kid. And, you know, I was telling everybody, hey, you know, it's good to see these guys young because this guy has a lot of – he's only 19. He has a lot of you know, he had a lot of tools. So it's good to maybe see him up close and personal, get an autograph, meet the kids, you know, before he makes it big, you know, because, you know,
yeah.
then they become rock stars, and that's what Top Rank does. They make rock stars, you know. But no, it was good. He looked good, you know. I know every city he's gone to, he's had a real good reception. The crowd loved him. I mean, having his dad with his name, you know, a lot of old heads like me who grew up watching guys like Vargas and De La Hoya, Trinidad, like, you know, kind of show up. You know, I took my nephews, my kiddo, you know, and we had a good time. I'm like, you know, like I told him I grew up watching this guy. So I think a lot of people kind of did the same thing because there was a big reception for him, even though he's never fought there. So, you know, he's quick. He's got tools. He's hungry. You know, he's got the personality. He's got the look. Man, so, and he's with Top Rank. You know, so I'm excited, man. I think, you know, unless his chin doesn't hold up, I think he's gonna be a problem. And you know, I also got to see Xander Zayas. You know, he's a good kid. I wanted to see him get, you know, more pop in his power. He's been going the distance a lot lately, but of course we're in Texas. They're not gonna let him do that. And I agree with y'all, man. The scores are way too wide. You know, I'm glad I didn't tune in live because I didn't hear the post fight interview from Gonzalez. Man, that's heartbreaking, man. I mean, that's boxing, right? Like, you got guys that don't want to fight each other. You hear Shakur and all them going back and forth. You got a guy like Gonzalez who fought. He went. This is his third guy he's fought. Like, who fights Cepeda before this? Shakur before that? I mean, and to hear him talking about, you know, he sounded like he wanted to cry, saying he was disappointed in his performance. Man, you feel for the kid, you know? Like, they didn't give him any benefit of the doubt, you know? And it's Texas. We got the worst commission in boxing. And I always warn fighters about that. I know some of the Texas commission guys, but I still call it like it is, man. They're horrible down there. But I don't know if y'all saw that, man, but it was bad, man. Poor guy. I mean, that's hard luck. You know, that's boxing for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did most of the people agree with that decision?
Well, and the bizarre thing about that fight was it started late for Texas. So I think after the main event was over, people were just ready to go. Because the crowd showed up early, and it's odd for Texas, it started at 9 p.m., the main card. So I think by then, you know, and then they stopped serving alcohol, and then people drink down here. We're the number one beer drinking state as far as, like, events and stuff, and that's, you know, just statistically proven. But I think after that, everybody was so kind of wore out, and it was kind of a letdown performance by Lopez. Yeah. You know, so I think,
yeah,
you know, people didn't agree with it. So as soon as they announced the winner, even before that, people started heading out. So because it was late, and that's another thing that was kind of threw me off.
Wow!
Friday.
Yeah, I mean,
who
cause,
do you
like
think won the fight?
I wasn't scoring it, but I think Lopez might have got all hustled, man. I mean, I was scoring it early for, you know, for the top ranked fighter, but I think Joette was out hustling him. The one thing I will say, being ringside, is even when the shots landed or didn't land, you could hear the thud. Like, there was a huge difference in power with, you know, when Joette was throwing, it sounded more like slaps. You know, he was like a rat-a-tat-tat kind of shots, and then you know, Lopez would throw the thudding shots. So I think maybe that's what the judges. But I mean, the judges are always going to go for the main guy because it's Texas. Saying we got,
yeah.
The hard thing about Texas, we got such a big market here, but our commission, man, I don't, you know, and I don't blame fighters for not wanting to come down here because, man, it's dirty down here, man. Like, our commission is horrible, you know, and a lot of people give me shit for it, you know, because I know a lot of people who, like, cover and you know, work with promoters here, and I'm just like, man, they're terrible, man. So, you know, you got the market, but at the same time, you got this crooked, corrupt, you know, commission, and, you know, they scored it wide, and I think maybe he edged it, you know what I mean? I don't know. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was a close fight.
The judges didn't get,
yeah,
the judges didn't get the benefit of the doubt. So that's what makes it kind of like a robbery in my eyes, is when the scorecards don't reflect the fight. Like, man, they were just scoring everything one-sided.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hopefully they keep.
Go ahead.
Hopefully they keep coming. Yeah, hopefully they keep coming here, man. I'm telling you, because like I said, I grew up on their events, I think the best thing for boxing was Top Rank and HBO combined, and then HBO took a huge hit when we lost HBO. And yeah, guys, it was a pretty, low budget, decent weekend. You know what I mean? To go catch some fights, but I was just waiting on Canelo, man, waiting for the big one.
I know, man. Well, it was a good card anyway. I mean, you got to see a really good one over there, man. So that's always a plus.
Yeah. I got some autographs, some pictures, and made some memories. Yeah,
there you go.
See how these kids watch them, right?
Man. Very good, man. Very good. All right, man, we're going to get rolling. Thank you so much, Anthony, for the call. We appreciate it. San Antonio beat. I tell you, he saw a good card. He saw a really good card. And he said he went for mainly to see Vargas' son. And that guy looked good. I'm telling you, man, for a prospect, for 5-0, I mean, he looks sharp.
In the blood.
Yeah. You can see it. You can see it. You know, it's definitely there. And I think, is he the youngest of the Vargas kids?
Not sure. I know there's a couple of them. I think there's three brothers.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it's short. And he's, I tell you, when the caller was right on point about the Texas Commission, it really is.
There always
seems to be something going on there where there's some kind of controversy where there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. Shakur Stevenson will now fight Edwin De Los Santos, and that is set for November 16th. Frank Martin backed out. Edwin De Los Santos is now, the sixth-ranked guy they had to go down for? Who turned him down? Lomachenko turned him down.
Lomachenko.
Martin turned him down.
Frank Martin, Zepeda,
Isaac Cruz all turned him down.
None of them want to fight.
Do you think it's like fighting Guillermo Wigandow back in the day, where it's just a load of problems? And really, the guy, again, Shakur's not that popular. He's not. He's not a household name. He's not many people know who he is.
No, he hasn't crossed over just yet.
Yeah, he hasn't made that big crossover. So he's that's a lot of risk for not a lot of reward,
Yeah, it's pretty shitty that it's like that. And boxing's never been fair, right? And you got guys like, you got Tank and Ryan putting it on there, and no belts are on the line, nothing, no undisputed, no titles, not even really the best versus the best in that division, right? Because in 135, you still had Shakur, you still had Devin, right? And at 140, you had, T.O., Josh Taylor, right? You got Regis Prograis. So from 135 to 140, the biggest name and the biggest draw and the biggest guy that generates the most revenue is Tank Davis. And he doesn't even have an official title.
Yeah.
So life isn't always fair, man. What are you going to do?
And I tell you, Tank Davis and Shakur, that would be a huge fight. I don't know that's going to happen.
That's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, man.
We'll see. But the rumor is that, I guess, Frank Martin was holding out because he may get a Tank Davis fight next. I don't know how true that is. I wasn't in the room. I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah, there had to be something there for him.
I'm not prepared to criticize fighters for not taking fights. I mean, obviously, I would have liked to have seen the fight, but once again, he must have had a reason for not taking it. So I don't know. Just like the other ones did. Like, he's not the only guy that passed up on this fight, but for whatever reason, he's the only one that's getting really criticized for it.
Right.
And maybe because there was an understanding that he was actually going to take it, where the other ones didn't even really take it. They said no right from the jump, and he was actually, supposedly, allegedly, he did say yes, but then ended up saying no later. So who knows,
Yeah, I think that, I don't think that Frank Martin is scared of Shakur Stevenson. I just think, again, numbers talk, man. Money talks. So if he got a better offer for an easier fight with the same amount of money or more,
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
what are you going to do?
I don't know what's on the table. I don't know why he did what he did, but we'll see. We'll see. Hindsight is always 20/20. Yeah. We'll see if this was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and it probably was, because he would have got beat by Shakur Stevenson, no question. Mackenzie Morrison, Tommy Morrison's son, signs a co-promotional deal with Debella Entertainment and Holden Productions, which is kind of surprising, man, because Holden Productions, or, you know, Tony Holden, slams Patricia Morrison on, like, a regular basis. And that is Tommy's widow, Patricia Morrison. We've had her on the show, and she claims that Tommy didn't have AIDS or whatever, and you know, all that other stuff. She's got a lawsuit, went to the Supreme Court, so there must be something to it. Yeah, those two seem always to be at, he always seems to be at her throat for some reason. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But he signed with him. This next story is just like, what are you doing? Almost like cringeworthy. Manny Pacquiao is pursuing a gold medal at the 2024 Olympics. Quote, from the beginning, I said I went to Manila that I wanted to join the Philippine team. But I was rejected. They said they didn't know how to box. They said I didn't know how to box, so I was forced to turn pro at the age of 16. That's the reason for this. From the very beginning, it's been a dream in my heart to get a gold medal at the Olympics. I get it. But you're 44. You were pound for pound one of the best fighters ever. Ever. And, you know, I mean, you can make the argument that he's in the top two, top three. You know what I mean? You can really make that argument. No question. One of the best to ever put the gloves on. Let this go. There's no
problem with
this.
Here's the problem with this, Eric. You're taking the spot from a young – if they were to push him through and allow him to be on this team, right, because they'd have to jump through hoops to get this done for him, which they more than likely will probably do because of his name.
Yeah.
He's taking the spot away from a younger fighter.
Let's say that there is no fighter on the Philippine team that can come in at the weight he's going to come in at. Do you approve it then?
No.
I don't either.
I don't approve it.
You're talking about an advanced professional. I mean, going up against kids, you know. And he's still in shape. He's not the Pacquiao he was. I get that. But I wouldn't want to see Floyd in there either. I don't like seeing pro boxers in the Olympics.
But if you've already been pro, you've been accustomed to fighting in the pros with a longer amount of rounds, and a lot of times trying to go back to the amateurs doesn't transition well for a pro because you only got three rounds to get your work done.
Yeah,
and if you're a slow starter, then you're going to lose.
Different sport.
You're going to lose.
You know, and Duke Reagan is taking some time off, I guess, and he's going to go. He wants to go back to the Olympics for the 2024. Yeah. I don't agree with that either. Like, dude, just stay the course.
Yeah,
you're doing the right thing, man. Stay the course. Become a professional. You had your chance in the Olympics. Now you may be taking this away from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not, it's still, you know, you have an advantage over the guys coming in.
Yeah, more than likely you are taking it away from a young person. They're probably just trying to get their career started off the ground. I think it's unfair. But again, you're used to boxing 10, 12 rounds, and now you got to go back to three. You got to just change your whole style all over again. You got to transition your pro style back to an amateur style. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't always translate well.
Well, we talked about it before with Bobby Gunn and the bare knuckle thing. You know, it's the same. Yep. It looks the same thing on paper. I'm seeing two guys throw bones at each other, but it's not. It's a completely different sport. Completely different sport.
Paulie Malignaggi tried bare knuckle. What happened to him? He broke his hand.
Yeah.
Like the second round.
Who do you think wins the Zhang and Joe Joyce? You think Joe Joyce wins it again? Or you think Joe Joyce wins this time? I think Zhang wins it.
I think Joe Joyce will win. And I thought he was coming on in the first fight. Before his eye got swollen up like that, and I think if his eye didn't get swollen up, I know it's a big if, right? It's a woulda, coulda, shoulda, hindsight 20/20 type situation. But he was coming on. Zhang does get tired, and Zhang does tend to fade. It's always a different fight for Zhang in the second half. Now Joe Joyce is going to be coming in a little heavier, so now that's six times the amount of bone density that he has over the normal human being. It's going to be seven times this time, so he'll be ready. Put a layer of that bone density for protection over that eye, so it'll be okay.
I'm all with Zhang, man. I think Zhang wins it again. I think Zhang wins.
I'm going with Joe Joyce to get revenge.
All right, all right. Adrian Broner versus Chris Howard, set for November 4th. Beeb, you may be asking yourself, who is Chris Howard?
I don't know who he is.
Chris Howard clearly is a boxer from Cincinnati. Obviously, you know, Chris Howard from Cincinnati. Both fighters are actually from Cincinnati, as you know. Now, the fight will take place in Miami. This is a Don King card, and they're promoting it as, they're promoting it, you know, with the hometown thing, but they're in Miami. Another one misses. Why do promoters constantly miss this? Adrian Broner and Sean Porter, the Battle of Ohio, took place in Las Vegas. You got two guys from Cincinnati fighting in Miami. Help me out. What is this? I don't get it.
Yeah. I think Miami.
Get it together, son.
New resident, I guess. I guess he's been spending a lot of time in Miami now.
I think he has, too. Don King is stationed in Miami, too. So he's been there for years.
Where would a fight be if it is in Ohio? Name a big arena in Ohio that a fight could be, or any arena that you would think a fight would be able to be staged in Ohio.
Put it right in the Cintas Center, I believe. Okay. I think they still call it the Cintas Center. That's Xavier's campus. You could put it there. You could put it, I tell you what, man, you can put it in at UC's campus, too, at the University of Cincinnati, at where the Bearcats play basketball over there, right there, that little venue right there. They just redid it. It's nice. Everything is good, you know.
When was the last time they had an event in Ohio, do you know? A decent-sized event?
Toledo. Wasn't it Toledo not too long ago they had one? With Big Baby Miller they had one. But in Cincinnati, no, they haven't had a big event here for a while. Broner was the last big event here, actually.
Who's from Ohio? You got Boom Boom Mancini's from Ohio, right?
He's from Akron. Yeah, I believe he's from Akron.
And you got Kelly Pavlik. Aaron Pryor.
Yeah, I think he was from Columbus, I thought. Pavlik, or right around that way. I don't know for sure. But, yeah, Aaron Pryor, Cincinnati, Ezra Charles, Cincinnati, Duke Reagan, Cincinnati, Rasheed Warren, Cincinnati, Adrian Broner, Cincinnati.
Adrian Broner, Cincinnati,
And Toledo's got a lot of good ones, too, man. Toledo's got a lot of good fighters. That's where Easter Bunny's from. He's from up there. Tyler McQuarrie's from up there. They got a lot of good fighters up there. Albert Bell's from up there. Yeah.
We had Tyler McQuarrie on the show before, didn't we? He seemed like a good guy, right?
Yeah, he's a real good guy, man. Real good guy. All right, and that is going to do it, man. That is the news, and that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter, as always. You can catch Joe Habib on X at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com, and you can find me on Twitter at You can find me on X at ringside73. And we will catch you guys next week.